now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-movie podcast from classic cults and all the cheese in between, the movies your beeb, your entertainment is grade A, and I am your host, Jason Jackanetti, and this time I'm going back all the way back to 2024 for Werewolves, the Frank Grillo movie, and I'll get to it right after this.
Mom? Uncle West, why can't you stay?
They need me to help them try and stop this.
We're the only family we have left.
We got this.
Cody!
What are you doing, man? You should kill somebody.
We are all soldiers now. Tonight, when that sun sets, it's gonna be every man for himself.
We have a 9-hour window to test and report our findings. We hope to see if this mutation can be blocked.
Let's go over the rules.
Don't open the door for anyone.
Don't hesitate for a second.
Hoorah! Hoorah! Hoorah!
Good luck tonight.
Canopy retraction commencing.
No more guns, no more guards. Those things are coming for us.
I'm here.
Hey! Bite me!
Werewolves was released December 6, 2024, with a 94-minute running time. Your director here is Stephen C. Miller. Now, Stephen C. Miller, he's known for his remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night, titled Silent Night, which we've covered on this show, which both Dad and I enjoyed. He's been also known for his debut film, Automation Transfusion, which was at the time, really cutting edge. He's also known for many music videos and stuff. So you also might know him from, he did the movie Line of Duty, which was 2019, Escape Plan 2, He had did Extraction for Lionsgate back in the day and Submerged for IFC Films. To me, Silent Night's the one I know him most. I've seen Automation Transfusion, but and I also have seen Scream of the Banshee, the one he did for After Dark Films. But the one I know the best is obviously Silent Night. And he also, again, like I said, did a number of worked music videos and stuff like that. But be as it may, your writer is Matthew Kennedy. Your producers are Miles Nestel, Craig Chapman, Stephen C. Miller himself, and James Michael Cummings. Your star here is Frank Grillo. Now, most of you know Frank Grillo from his, whether he's from his work in the MCU, where he is, or his work in the Purge franchise, or when he plays Rick Flag Sr. in the DCU. Obviously, he was in movies like Warrior in 2011, The Gray, End of Watch, Zero Dark Thirty. He was in a number of movies. Frank Grillo, you've seen him before. He an actor that, never the main lead, but he's always kind of bit part. He's Crossbones in MCU and stuff like that. So, then Katrina Law is the second biggest star here. I know her from Spartacus Blood and Sand and Spartacus Vengeance. But she's also from the TV series Arrow from the CW. And then she's also appeared on Hawaii Five-O and on NCIS, which where Kelly probably know her from. The only other major name here is Lou Diamond Phillips, who's La Bamba, kind of thing. He's not in the movie very long, but he's there. Your cinematography is Brandon Cox. Your editor is Greg McLean. The music is by the Newton Brothers, not known for their figs, but the Newton Brothers. Your production companies here are Burke Management, Monty the Dog Production, Solution Entertainment Group. And then your distribution was by Briarcliff Entertainment. This was not a big release. The box office for this movie is reported to be just about $2 million. So it was not a financial success. But this is a movie I heard a bunch about. Kept seeing trailers for it or like little things like this is coming kind of thing. And I watched it. I mean, I picked up the Blu-ray and, well, we'll get into it in a second. All right, here we go. 1 year ago, during the supermoon, humans transformed into monstrous werewolves that hunt humans. During the supermoon night, anyone exposed to moonlight becomes one. So that's interesting right there. It's a different take that the moon itself is causing the transformations, not something within themselves. It's the idea that it's reactivating something inside you, the supermoon, what I thought was an interesting take on the werewolf movie. In response, humanity is preparing for another supermoon event, barricading their homes with weapons and self-defense traps, and military personnel caging humans who were exposed to the moon a year ago while scientists try to reverse the mutation caused by the moon. Wesley Marshall, a former U.S. Army soldier and molecular biologist, lives with his sister-in-law, Lucy, and her daughter, Emma. He works on fortifying the house against the werewolves. Regan, a neighbor, comes to visit them, leaving for the supermoon night. As the family stocks up, Lucy convinces Wesley to head back to the laboratory where they are working on the solution to cure the vampire mutation since he is working for them. But Wesley is hesitant because it would leave them unprotected despite his precautions. All right, so Wesley is Frank Grillo. He's obviously former military, but he's also a scientist. This movie it shows itself that it was not a super high budget film, but everything kind of looks real. I mean, it's not that it looks fake. I mean, there's just people, fortifying their houses and stuff at this point. Dr. James Aranda and his team of scientists, including Wesley, have developed a special serum called Moonscreen. It is called Moonscreen, folks. It's designed to block moonlight from affecting the human genome when exposed. Dr. Amy Chen is one of the scientists working on the serum. Military personnel and scientists construct a highly secure facility to keep their test subjects in cages while injecting with the serum. The scientists wear moonlight protective suits and inject the serum into the test subjects before opening the roof to expose the subjects to moonlight. At first, Miles and the test subjects remain human, but eventually they transform into werewolves. Okay, so this is really, I think this is, The ideas here are really cool. I like the ideas. This is, again, this lives in its B-movie territory. It wears it on its sleeve. But I like the idea that we are now talking about, instead of just being, you know, some affliction, whether it be a curse or a bite or something, that it's inside all of us, and that we can very easily, any one of us could turn into a werewolf if exposed to the super moon's rays. And I like the idea that they're using this as like, there's an injection, but there's also the idea that there's putting like suntan lotion on them, kind of thing, to block them from what's happening. At Panic, Guard attempts to shoot at them, but they are accidentally freed and rampage across the facility in chaos. Aranda is exposed to moonlight and transforms into a werewolf himself. Wesley and Amy flee into the storage room where they inject themselves with the serum, since the inoculation effects last only 1 hour. So they bring vials with them, to protect with them so they can remain human. Then they gear up with the protective clothing and weapons and leave the facility in a van. Wesley suggests heading to his home, which has more protection. However, their vehicle was caught in a crash with a bus, so they are forced to proceed on foot. Now, this is where you figure something had to happen here. They had to be on foot where they're going to be exposed. Now, mind you, there are now werewolves going crazy, because now the moon's happening and anyone out in the light's a werewolf. And now, of course, if there's werewolves, there's got to be people hunting werewolves. And that's what's going to happen here. And you kind of can know where this is going to happen, or where it's going to go, what's going to happen here. But I think overall, it's not bad. I think the issue people are going to have with this movie is that the acting is not super deep, but it's a really B movie, so I'm not sure how super deep you think the acting's going to be here. Nothing atrocious. This is no, it's not amateurish in any way. But I think when we start seeing that, you have werewolves here and you're hoping for a lot of physical effects, you do get a good chunk of CGI, which I don't love for werewolves. I'd rather have werewolves be physical effects, but we'll get to that in a minute. They carefully navigate through the ruined streets overrun with werewolves. The serum effects wear off and they flee from the werewolves into the tunnels. They head to a convenience store to cool down the serum before injecting themselves another dose. Wesley and Amy are caught in a crossfire between heavily armed survivors and werewolves. Surrounded by the werewolves, Amy distracts them by exposing herself to the werewolves. Not actually exposing herself like naked wise, but just making her put out in person. But they do not then attack, as the serum has shielded her from the moonlight. Wesley and Amy try to flee by car, but Amy is dragged away by a werewolf, forcing Wesley to head home. Meanwhile, this is back at the house, Lucy and Emma bunker down in their fortified house. A crazed veteran next door, Cody Walker, shoots at one of the werewolves outside, but his house is struck with debris, causing him to be exposed to the moon and transformed into a werewolf. And this is where most of the attacks happen. The werewolf attacks the siege on the house. Again, a lot of you probably could see it coming if you have any foresight into what, these kind of movies entail. But it's not horrible. It just seems like, I don't know, like the Lucy's shooting, like you only have so many bullets. Why are you shooting at them on the roof? I don't know. I mean, to me, I wouldn't want to put any more holes in my house if I didn't have to, but maybe that's just being a conscientious homeowner. Wesley arrives and kills, the noise attracts other nearby werewolves who attack the house, forcing Lucy to defend herself and Emma. Wesley arrives and kills the other werewolves before his serum wears off. As dawn approaches, Wesley exposes himself to the moon, transforming into a werewolf, and kills Cody. Now you have a werewolf fight here, folks. However, before he can attack Lucy and Emma, the sun rises and Wesley transforms back into a human. Wesley reunites with his family, knowing that the serum was a success. Yep. So that's again, this movie, I like its original ideas. I like the idea that they're doing something different. I like that they're pushing the envelope. I like all those things. I just think the werewolf effects are weak in this film for what we had been, promised, for what I had heard. I had heard that this was going to be physical effects and it was going to really, kind of show off those werewolves and stuff. And I think it's hard because we already know that movies that are older than this, something like Dog Soldiers, where they did physical effects and lots of that stuff, you could very easily do that here.
Now, it doesn't make your werewolves jump around. It doesn't make all those things, the crazy gunfight scenes and all that stuff, work as well. But I think at the end of the day, most people who are watching a werewolf movie would like to see actual physical werewolves. So this movie was originally announced in June of 2022, and it was Stephen C. Miller's originally had it called Year Two, and had begun principal photography in Puerto Rico with Matthew Kennedy writing the screenplay. And the exact same people who were in this movie made up the original cast. In 2024, they had been retitled Werewolves, and Miller announced the post-production was close to completion. And obviously, it they got this movie put out, and it's available. I mean, you can watch it on Amazon and stuff like that, and it's a Blu-ray and the whole nine. Overall, the was not super popular with critics. They said kind of middling reviews. They said it was a mix of average, that most of the reviews are pretty average for it. And I would have to agree. Overall, I like the story. I think the story is the strongest part of this movie. I think the idea is really good. I think if you had a much bigger budget or to me, physical effects always are better. But if you had physical effects of these werewolves, I think you might have a little better reaction. It's nothing against Frank Grillo or against Katrina Law or against any of the people in the movie. I don't think the acting is the issue. I just think it's just not... they didn't put enough into... the effects part of it to kind of really pay off the story. The story is solid, but you got to pay off those effects. So has anyone else seen this movie? Is it just me? Am I the only one who's seen it? Because I don't think anyone of my friends have seen it yet. But that's what it was. So this movie actually said it opened to December 6th, which is kind of a dead time to open movies anyway. And it actually opened against Y2K and Pushpot 2, The Rule, I don't know what that is, pulling in just over $1 million on, 1,351 screens. That's a pretty good opening. And then it wound up grossing a total of $1.8 million in the U.S. In Russia, it pulled down $76,000, which is good, which is getting us to that, overall, gross of around, we're getting close to that $2 million mark. Anyway, I don't think we're going to see a sequel. I don't think we'll see a Year Three. That's just me. But you never know. You never know what happens in Hollywood these days because they kind of just do whatever they're going to do. But I would love to see this idea expanded upon if they're going to do it. But definitely keep in mind, though, I think a lot of the, again, I've said it several times here, physical effects here would have sold it better. I think you don't need 1,000 werewolves. They didn't have 1,000 werewolves, but I think you don't need 1,000 werewolves in a movie. You just need some really good executed ones, kind of thing. All right. So did anyone of you see it? If you did, let me know. I'd love some feedback here. Obviously I'm kind of hitting all different kind of movies here. There's some other stuff in the works. I'm trying to line up some guests. I'm trying to get people ready to roll. But it's kind of hard. We've been, obviously plans don't always go, plans are made, but then they are kind of thwarted. And we're in a situation where, obviously those of you who have stuck with us as listeners have seen how the show has kind of changed in the last, year or so. There's always still hope that we can get back to where we were and get some of that normalcy back. But, as of right now, it's not a possibility. So, but I want to thank those of you who did download and listen. I want to thank those of you who spend, even if it's only 20 minutes right now with me instead of the usual hour that Dad and I were able to do, being supported in the show. We all appreciate it. We all do this as a labor of love. There's nothing, nothing if, we are not doing this for love, because it's certainly not, because we're getting rich off of it anyway. So with that being said, folks, keep those cards and letters coming and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters? Or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yamgari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Jacknetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Jacknetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots, Bugs, Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Jacknetti. And you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?